Hello again, and welcome to our program. We're continuing in the book of John. We're in John chapter 12. We read here, they made him a supper. Verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now it starts in verse 1, it says, then Jesus. That phrase is found 7 times in the book of John. Everything was happening according to his plan. History is his story. He was completely in control then, and he is completely in control now. It is interesting how nation after nation are busy building bigger bombs and bigger warships and bigger planes to kill more people. And God can shut down the entire economy of the world with a little virus that is so small it's not even subject to gravity. He is completely in control. 2,000 years ago, the Bible talks about viruses at the end of the age, and this, what we're looking at now, is simply the glide path to the tribulation period, which is just ahead. So we read then 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany. Now, we remember the Passover was originally called the Lord's Passover. Then it degraded to the Passover, and then it degraded more to the Jews' Passover. He said the same thing about the church. He said, I will build my church. But then when we get to the Revelation, it wasn't his church anymore. He said, I will remove thy candlestick. And it tells you plainly the candlestick represents the local church. Now, it says it was 6 days before the Passover. So that means it was 6 days before Jesus would be crucified. And he came to Bethany. As I said, he was totally in charge. There they were gunning for him. They were looking to kill him. They had everybody say, you know, the Pharisees said, if you know where he is, you must report it. He came to Bethany. He is totally in charge. They're not going to crucify him 1 second before he determined they would do it. Verse 2 says, they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, simply put, Lazarus is a picture of the resurrected life. And simply put, that means, no matter what, I'm with him. I stand with Jesus. Well, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, very costly. Genuine worship is very costly. That phrase, very costly, has been translated in Matthew 13, of great price. Jesus was talking to some people. He said, follow me. And he said, oh, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Me first. Lord and me first, that's a contradiction of terms. In Luke 9:61 again, another one said, Lord, I will follow thee, but me first. We have a lot of me first fundamentalists today. Oh yeah, I'm going to go sing the hymns of the old time hymns, and I'm going to carry my King James Bible under my arm and go to all the services. But it's me first. I'll give God an hour on Sunday morning and an hour on Sunday night even, and even an hour on midweek service, and we'll call it a prayer meeting, although we don't pray anymore. And don't dare go over that hour, preacher. We go for 1 hour. We'll look for a new preacher. Yeah, me first. I have my plans, and we call that fundamentalism. God calls it hypocrisy. Luke 14:33 says, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." Do we have any disciples today? They made him a supper. Who's there? Jesus, it said they made him a supper. Martha, she's serving. Lazarus is sitting at the table with him. Mary is worshiping, anointing his feet with oil and wiping his feet with her hair. Judas is wondering if he'd wasted the last 3 years. This is where he turns and decides to go to the Pharisees and figure out what he can get. No doubt the disciples are talking together about what has recently happened and probably looking out the window to see if those Pharisees are coming. Then Judas, it says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Did he care about the poor? Apparently not. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Oh, he looked good. He looked good. Oh, if we're gonna vote in anybody to be the treasurer of this group, it's going to be Judas. We got that Peter guy. He's up and down. No, no, we can trust him to take care of the books. But, oh, Judas, yeah, we'll give him the bag. Then Judas, one of his disciples, keep that in mind, he had the bag. He was a thief. And he said, "We could have got a day's wages out of all that that was wasted on his feet." Then Judas, the next time we hear about him, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. It's interesting. I think we missed that. Then Judas, having received a band of men and officers, he's leading these people out to get Jesus. Then Jesus, I like this, "Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." I'm going to talk about this in the next program, but we're looking at her discernment here. We'll look at that a little deeper. "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying." She understood what was coming at the on the day of Pentecost. "For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." She understood that. And so he said, "Let her alone." Mary did not know at this point that Judas was a hypocrite. The lesson here that we need to take home is that sincere Christians will be criticized by hypocrites. What were all the other disciples thinking at this time? This rebuke to Judas, the response. It's an interesting story, one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. And by the way, as we mentioned before, the last public miracle that he did, after this, the Lord turns to his private ministry of teaching the disciples what they needed to know. Well, be sure to be with us for our next message as we continue in John chapter 12.